إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخواتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be another session from the sittings of the explanation of the book Manhaj al-Salikin by Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. Still on the Kitab of Al-Bayr, that is the explanation of commercial transactions. Inshallah, we are going to continue with the fifth condition. The Sheikh says, Ash-Shartul Khamis, condition number 5. ومن الشروط الا يقع العقد على محرم شرعا. One of the conditions of the validity of any business transaction is that the contract should not be made agreed on something that is haram in the Sharia. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits, what is expected of the believer is to go away from such a thing. As going away from such a thing increases one's iman and is a sign of being a good believer. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits, we should go away from it. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, we should do. And وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever it forbids you, you should go away from it. So, one of the conditions of the validity of a commercial transaction is that the transaction must be void of anything that is haram. And that is why the Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَمِنَ الشُّرُوطِ, one of the conditions is أَلَّا يَقَعَ الْعَقْدُ عَلَى مُحَرَّمٍ شَرَعًا. The contract should not be signed on something that is haram in the Sharia. إما لعينه, either that thing is said to be haram in and of itself, كما نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع الخمر. For example, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade the sale of intoxicants. والميتة, he forbade the sale of a dead animal. Wal asnam, he forbade the sale of al asnam, idols. And this is established in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. He said, Inna Allah wa Rasulah harrama bi al-khamri. Allah and His Messenger forbade the sale of intoxicant wal-mayta and dead animal wal-khinzir and pork, that is the swine, the pig, wal-asnam and the idols. فقيل يا رسول الله, it was said to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, أرأيت شحوم الميتة فإن يتلى بها السفن ويدهن بها الجلود ويستشبه بها الناس فقال لا هو حرام. It was said to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Oh Messenger of Allah, what about the fat of the dead animal? This is because it is used in other to rob the sufun, the sheep. Wayud and Bial Julud, likewise it is also used in order to rob the skin. Wayestesbi ubi an nas, and the people use it for lightning. Faqal, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La wa haram. Even with that, it is still haram to sell it. So this is haram in and of itself. It is haram for one to buy or sell intoxicant, for one to buy or sell dead animal, for one to buy or sell the idols, unless if the idols have been broken into pieces to the extent that it is not in the shape that it can be used as an object of worship. Then in that situation, the brokerage or the breakings of those things can be used, can be sold. But for one to say one is going to sell it the way it is, it is not permissible. Even if the person does not have the intention of using it as an object of worship, because it's a kind of surah, it's a kind of animated object. So it is not permissible to sell such. So particularly when it is originally intended as something of an item of worship. However, if it has been broken, so if it has been broken, then it can be used, it can be sold in that situation. So that is, it is no more something meant or is in a position of being used as an idol. So these are what muharrama li dhatiha. They are forbidden in and of themselves. وَإِمَّا لِمَا يَتَرَتَّبَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ قَطِعَةِ الْمُسْلِمِ. At times it may be that something is forbidden because of the qati'a. What is qati'a? That is the split that can happen between people or friends or people or neighbors and things like that. So if you sell something, this can lead to something of quarrel. It can lead to animosity. It can lead to enmity amongst you. So Islam prohibits certain things that we should not sell them in specific ways, because those ways are ways that can bring about enmity, rancor, hatred amongst us, amongst humanity. So for this reason, those methods of buying and selling are said to be haram. Those methods are said to be haram. كما نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن البيع على بيع المسلم. For instance, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade البيع على بيع المسلم for one to sell what a Muslim has sold, for instance. You want to sell something on the sale of a Muslim. وشراء على شرائه. What a Muslim has purchased, you want to watch, you want to purchase that thing. One nudge, and that is outbidding. Outbidding with the intention of not buying it, but just to increase the price of the commodity in order to favor the seller, for instance, in order to favor the seller. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a Tirmidhi hadith, which was reported by some of the companions, like Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Urayra radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La yabi ba'dukum ala bi'i ba'd." One of you should not sell on the sale of another person. Take, for instance, a brother of yours has sold something to a person. Take, for instance, he sells to him a handset. And you go to that person, he said, "How much did he sell this thing to you?" The person says, for instance, "He sold it to me 20,000 naira." Then he said to the person, "I can sell it to you for a lesser price, let's say 18,000 naira. This is al-bi'u ala bi'il akh. What your brother has sold, so you are trying to sell similar thing to the same person, wanting him to return what he has purchased, what he has concluded with another person. So this is al-bi' ala bil akh, particularly if it is within the time of watch of khiyar al-shart, that is when the person has a right to return it. Maybe a purchase the item from me and he says, but you give me the option to return it maybe in 2 weeks' time or in a week time. In a week's time, if I don't like it, I can return it. And I agree with him. So I, the seller, agree with the buyer that you can return the item in a week's time. That is within a week. If he is not interested, he can return it. So somebody who is also selling something similar to what I'm selling now decides to go to the buyer and tell him that thing that you have purchased for 20,000 naira, I can give you for 18,000 naira. As human beings, you want to get something that is what? That is cheaper. Then I go to the person that has given me the khiyar shart that I can return it in 2 weeks' time to tell him that I'm no more interested. So, why? As a person said, "I'm no more interested to me," is because somebody has come to him to tell him that he can sell that particular thing for him or to him for a lesser price. So what the person has done to me is that he has done al-bi'u ala bi'i akhi. He has concluded a sale on the sale of his brother. That is the same item he wants to watch. The same transaction, he wants his brother to return it to me, so that watch, he can be the one that should make the benefit, but he will be selling to the person at a lesser price. So this something that is very, very harsh. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against this, that we should not sell on the sale of our brother. La yabi'i. La yabi'i. He should not sell. Ala bi'i. Akhi. He should not sell on the sale of his brother. So this is something that is important. As I've said, we have it in many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as Muslims, we should avoid this. Don't be somebody that we be so much interested in yourself. You want to sell your market, you want to sell your merchandise, then what somebody has concluded, though it's still what within the time of what khiyar shart, you want the buyer to return it so the buyer can get yours, and you are offering him a cheaper price for the same commodity. So this is something that is haram. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid it. La yabi' ba'dukum ala bi akhi. La yabi' ba'dukum ala bi akhihi. So one of you should not sell on the sale of his brother. So this is concluded. Now, if there is no khiyaru shart, for instance, and there is no khiyaru aib, there is no option of returning the commodity because there is a defect in it, and there is no option of shart that you have agreed that this thing, I will use it for a week. So if I'm not satisfied with it, I will return it. If this does not exist, the other khiyarat are not here. So the ruling is that any transaction concluded, I give you a commodity in good shape, good form, and both of us conclude, I take the good away from my shop, for instance. So the basis is that you do not have the right to return it. If you return it, it is not binding on me to take it from you because the transaction has been sealed. The transaction has been sealed. The only reason why you can return it is if you have a complaint, a genuine complaint, like if there is defect in it, or maybe there are some other conditions that we agree upon. But the basis is that what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-bayyi'ani bil-khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa. The buyer and the seller have the option to say, I'm not buying, I'm not selling anymore. Ma lam yatafarraqa. As long as both of them have not parted. So once they part, then the transaction is said to have been sealed. However, if the seller decides to refund or return the person's, the buyer's money when he returns it, despite the fact that the transaction has been sealed, this will be something that will be honorable. It's something that is good, but is not binding on him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages us to do it, but it's not compulsory. That is somebody returning an item that he has bought from you in good condition, no any defect in it. But maybe on getting home, for instance, maybe he discovered that his wife or somebody else has bought that same thing in their family, and there is no need for them to buy extra, for instance. Then he comes back to you wanting you to return the money to him. So this is not binding on you, because goods sold in what in good conditions are not refundable or are not returnable. So this is the basis. So and that's why when we see people say what goods are taken away or sold in good conditions are not refundable or returnable. So this is what Ta'silu Asul is, just like what a tautology, so to say, meaning what something that has been taken care by the Sharia, they are just repeating it. So if goods are taken out of the shop in good condition, then the basis is that they are not returnable. But if the seller decides to take it back in order to show kindness to the buyer, there is nothing wrong in this. In fact, it is encouraged. So what we are trying to say in essence is that if there is khiyar shart, somebody is buying an item from you, and the person says, do you allow me to use this item for a week to see if it's something that I will be interested in? And you say, yes, you can use it for a week. Then you both agree on it. So the transaction is not yet sealed because it's based on a condition of maybe testing it for a week or 2 weeks or thereabout, or whatever we have agreed upon, whatever time we have agreed upon. So during this period, if somebody now goes to the buyer in order to convince him towards to return the commodity to me that he is going to give him for a lesser price, this would be what? Al-Bi'u ala bi'i akhihi. You would have sold a commodity on the sale of his brother. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade this. This will lead to rancor, will lead to enmity amongst people. And that's what, as Muslims, we should try to learn the rulings of buying and selling Islam. Very important. If we learn this, we know how to accommodate one another. You know when you are fighting for your right or you are asking for your right, and you know when you are not fighting or asking for your right. Rather, you are fighting for something that is not your right. So, washira ala shira'ihi. What your brother has also purchased, he has purchased something from somebody. Don't do shira on ishira. Don't go and purchase on what he has purchased. For instance, somebody goes to a shop and he buys something, let's say for 18,000 naira, and the seller is happy with that. But because you love that thing that he has purchased, and maybe there is no extra copy of that thing that he has purchased, so you now go to your brother, so you go to the seller, to tell the seller that, how much did you sell that thing for? For him, or to him, he said, okay, 18,000 naira. Said, okay, I'm ready to give you 25,000 naira for that thing, so that he can collect it from him and sell it to you. You know, as human beings, so there is this greed of a thing. So when he sees the difference between the 18,000 and the, so he goes to the person to say, okay, please, I'm no more interested in selling that thing. Yes, if the transaction has been sealed, then it is not compulsory on the person to give it back to the seller. But if they are during the khiyaru shart, if they are during that period, the period that maybe the person has said, okay, I'll go and try it for a week. So during that period, it now comes to you that, sorry, I'm no more interested in selling that thing. So because they are in the period of khiyaru shart, where there is condition that you try it, and if you're no more interested in it, so he comes to tell you that I'm no more interested in selling it. Why? Because he has seen somebody who has offered a higher price. So who has led this person to do this? It is the person that is ready to offer a higher price that has what led to that. So this is what ashira ala shira'i al-akh is buying, what the brother, your brother has bought. So this is wrong. If your brother gets to know that you are the one that has led to this, he is not happy. He won't be happy with you. So this will lead to enmity, rancor, and the likes. So, and that's why this, as Muslims, should be avoided. Particularly, our brothers who have the understanding of the deen, those who are eager to implement the deen, so they should know this and avoid it. Something that your brother has sold, don't tell the seller. Sorry, something that your brother has bought, don't go to the seller in order to convince him to give him that you are going to give him a higher price for that thing, so that what he can take it from the buyer, because both of them are still in the period of what, of shart, khiyar shart. They are still in the period of testing that, okay, I can, I mean, I decide not to buy it, and I mean, decide not to sell it. So let me know for Allah, and forbid this. So the author also says, one nudge su, nudge su. What is nudge su? Nudge su from najasha, yanjushu. This is to watch, to do what is called istisara. That is to steer something. Like when you see an animal, for instance, you steer it, like what, chasing the animal somehow so that the animal can move. So this is used technically in the Sharia when people are doing what is called al-muzayada. Al-muzayada, this is auction. Somebody wants to auction an item, for instance, and he says, this item, I'm going to give it to the highest bidder. So people start bidding. Somebody says, for instance, I'm going to offer you 50,000 naira. Another person says 55,000 naira. So yes, it is the seller himself that has thrown this out, that okay, this thing is going for the highest bidder. So I offer 50,000 for instance. Another person comes and offers 55,000 naira. Another person 60,000, like that. So maybe somebody comes and say, what, 80,000 naira, I'm going to buy it 80,000 naira. So as human being, I want to sell it to the one who has offered the highest price, as human being. So I want to offer it, I want to sell it to the one who has offered the highest price, 80,000 naira. But is there anything wrong in this? There is nothing wrong in it, because this is not considered, it's not as what be alabay al-akh or thum al-thum al-akh, that is, you are bargaining for what your brother is bargaining for. So it's, what is said to be bargaining for what your brother is bargaining for is when you bargain for something and the seller is already inclined towards selling it for that person, then you now come and say, I'm going to offer you so and so. So this is al-thum al-thum al-akh, when the inclination is already there, that the seller is ready to sell it to that person. Then you come and say, okay, I'm offering you this amount, a higher price. This one is not okay. But in a situation where the seller has not decided to give it to any person, is just expecting the different prices that are being offered. So in this case, it is permissible for people to offer different prices. So auction is permissible. Auction is permissible. So, but with conditions. With conditions that inshallah we mention some of these conditions. So somebody outbid another person, there is no harm in that. So if the seller is now inclined towards one of the bidders, no harm. But what is wrong here that is said to be nudge is when somebody is now outbidding another person. But he himself does not have the intention of buying this thing. He just wants to inflate, he wants to increase the price of the commodity so that another person will come and increase on it. Maybe he and the seller has agreed that, okay, if somebody says this amount, you should come and what, sell another amount. So at what, the seller will be able to sell it at a bigger price, at a higher price. This is something that is wrong. Some of the salaf, the liking is to riba. You are not interested in the commodity. Why inflating the price? Why increasing it? Let those who are interested, let them price the commodity and let the seller sell for whomever he wishes. But for you to be inflating or increasing the price of the commodity, and you are not interested. So if the seller and the buyer, the seller and the bidder, they connive to do this, then both of them are sinful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if it is only the bidder that has done this without the consent or the knowledge of the seller, then it is what? It is the one that is what? That is sinful. So the seller is not sinful, because the seller thinks that he is also an interested buyer. So not knowing that what he is purposely increasing the price of the commodity in order to favor the seller. Despite the fact that he has the interest to favor the seller, this does not justify that act of his. So he is sinful for that. He is sinful for that. But if he is interested, he can what? He can increase it. And since the seller has not been inclined towards one of them, then we won't say what they are doing is wrong. What one, where it is when one, when the seller is inclined towards one of the bidders, say to say for instance, then another person comes to say what, I want to increase it. This is when it will be haram on him. So, and Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against as-sawm ala sawm al-akh. What your brother has offered as a price and the seller is already inclined towards it, the seller is already has already agreed, only that what they've not sealed the transaction, it's wrong for you to watch to offer a higher price than what he has offered. Because this is what this is harming him. So all this they are what? Muharramun li. Take for instance where you say you want to buy an handset. Handset is halal. Is what? Is halal. So unlike you want to buy pork for instance, pork is haram. Livatihi. Livatihi. Even if it is sold in the best way, it is still haram. Because pork is haram. Intoxicant, it is haram. Even if it is sold in the best way. If both of them they agree to what to buy, to sell, it is still haram because it is muharram li dhati. But handset is what is halal. So but the sale of handset can be what? Can be haram. لغيره, for another reason. And part of the reason it may be what? Zulm, injustice. When they say anything is haram, we have to look at is it haram in and of itself, or is haram لغيره, for another reason. So if it is haram لغيره, look at it very well. Is there injustice in it, generally speaking? Or specifically, is there gambling in it? Or is there something of garar that is serious uncertainty in it? Or is there riba in it? These are reasons why some things that are halal will be said to be haram, because of the method or the way that thing is sold. So this may become what? Haram. لغيره, for another reason. So one of the reasons is what? Is al-dhulmu, al-dhulmu, injustice. When you buy, you offer a price on what your brother has bought, a higher price on what your brother has bought, you have wronged him. Likewise, when you sell lesser, you offer a lesser price for a on a commodity that your brother has sold, but you want the buyer not to conclude the transaction with him to return the commodity because they are still in what? In the period of khiyar shart. So this is zulm for your brother as well. So when you offer a bigger price after you know that the seller is already inclined towards to taking the money from your from the buyer, then you decide to go to the seller to say, oh, I learned that you are already you are interested in selling so and so, I'll give you more price. So this is also haram, is sawm ala sawm al-akh. So then a nudge, this is outbidding people, but your intention is not that you are interested in a commodity. You just want to do it in order to favor the seller by increasing the price. You know that when you increase the price, somebody will come and what and add to your own. You say you are going to buy 70,000, and another person comes and says, I'm going to buy it 90,000 naira. So you say, I'm going to buy it 120,000 naira because you want to favor the seller. You are not interested in it. So at the end of it, you just pull out. Then with that, the seller would have made more money. So this is zulm. You are wronging people. So if you make money out of this, whether you agree with the seller that is going to give you something later, you have committed evil by taking that money from him. And even if you do it free of charge, this is something that is wrong. Let people who are interested, let them bid for the item. So we said auction is permissible. Auction. To auction an item is permissible on condition that what the one who is going to do it is doing it willingly. Not that that is the one who is, what's it called, the one who is bidding willingly. So likewise, the one who is going to provide the situation for people to come to auction, for instance, or to bid for an item, should not be asking people to pay for registration. If they are going to pay for any registration, it must be something that is equivalent to what the one who has organized it is going to what? Is going to spend. Take for instance, you print some documents and the likes. So the money you collect from people to register must not be more than what you are prepared. So if you have done that in order to make more money, then this is what is zulm, and it is what it is qimar, it is gambling. And a lot of people today, they say you have to register before you join something. You have to subscribe first. So how much are you paying? You are paying so and so amount. So the amount that you pay is what is gone. So whether eventually you are the one who is qualified to get what you want to sell or not. Let's take for instance, you say if you want to buy a house for instance, you have to what? You have to register first. How much is the registration? Then you say the registration is what? Is 50,000 naira for instance. 50,000 naira for what? Is it for the producing of paper and the likes? This is too much. So it's not commensurate with what you're asking for. So with this, a lot of people will come to register. And when they register, this money will be gathered. When they are gathered, then they will come what? Which amount? There's nothing different from what people tell you, like the network provider, for instance. They say, okay, die, send their message to so-and-so number. So 100 naira will be deducted from your money. So you are interested, maybe about 10 million of us are interested in Nigeria, for instance. So meaning they will cut 100 naira each from each person, from each person. So 100 million, 100 naira into 10 million places, that's which amount. So they tell you that, okay, maybe what they have in provision, for instance, is just for a few people, what they want to give out. This is what? Clear gambling. So if they want to sell some things, but they say you have to register first, a lot of people register, then at the end of it, at the end of the exercise, only few things are available for sale. What about those money that you have collected from people for registration? So this is what? Gambling. This is gambling, because people are asked to register, and the registration they've done, the money they've paid, are more than what is available. So if truly you want to collect money from people, it should be what you are going to spend. So it must be taklifa fi'liya. That is the actual cost. What the real cost, what you have really expended in producing the paper. Not that you are going to make any profit. So when you are going to make profit from the registration that you asked people to do, then this is what is gharar, is qimar. This is what is gambling. Because what is certain is that some of the people are not going to make it. And they've paid money for this registration. So it is certain that some will lose, then some what will gain. But who will be the one to lose his registration fee? Who will be the one to win with the registration fee? This is what we don't know. But it's certain that some people will lose their registration fee. So this is gambling. So if somebody says, okay, we are going to auction something, before you can be a member, you have to pay subscription fee. So it must not be something that will be more than the actual and the real cost. So if it is more than that, this will be zulmu, generally speaking, and it will be gambling specifically. So, and that's why we should take note of this. So auction is permissible, as I've said, that if the person is what is is auctioning something that is halal. What is being auctioned must be something that is halal, and the auctioner, so to say, should not be asking people to come and register first. And if there must be something like that, so it should not be something that will be more than what he has actually expended. So, but ordinarily speaking, you should not ask people to come and register for anything. So if he makes profit out of the registration fee page, then this is what, this is a gambling. Then as for the one who is bidding, he must go there, not because he wants to increase the price in order to favor the seller. If he does so, then this is wrong. So this is that. ومن ذلك نعيه عن التفريق بين الرحم في الرقيق. Likewise, falling under this محرم لغيره is the forbiddance that we should not separate between the family ties. We shouldn't separate between the family. Take for instance a mother and the child like that. For raqiq, with respect to slave. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is of the opinion, or sorry, he said that we should not separate between the mother and child. So whoever does that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to separate between him and his loved one on the day of Qiyamah. So this, it is permissible to sell a slave, for instance. A mother that is a slave, you sell. A child that is a slave, you sell. But for you to want to separate between them, they are human beings. So if you want to sell both of them, sell both of them. But for you to sell one and watch, keep the other. So this is what separating between both of them. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid this. So despite the fact that what you can sell the mother, you can sell the child, but sell both of them together or keep both of them together. So this is on that. ومن ذلك, also part of that, that is part of something that is muharramun li kasbi, that is haram li kasbi, for the way that it has been acquired. إذا كان المشتري تعلم منه أنه يفعل المعصية بما اشتراه, when you know that the buyer is going to commit evil with what he has bought from you, كاشتراء الجوز, take for instance buying الجوز, that is coconut, والبيض egg, للقمار, in order to gamble. Somebody has come to you to buy coconut or to buy egg. Al-qimar, in order to gamble, as well some people do this shukuniya of a thing, using egg to each other. And if my breaks yours, you are going to give me yours. My breaks yours, you are going to give me yours. So this is gambling. Or use coconut to eat each other. So if this one is able to break the other one, so I take the one that has been broken. So this is gambling. This is gambling. Because it is certain that one is going to break the other. But which one is going to break the other is what we don't know. So it is certain that one of us is going to lose this in this. So, and that's why this is what is said to be gambling. أو السلاح الفتنة. Like you know that somebody is coming to buy weapons from you, and when he buys it, he's going to cause fitna with it. He's going to cause fitna with that. So in this case, it is not permissible for you to sell the weapons. It's not permissible for you to sell the weapons. وَعَلَى قُطَّعِ الطُّرُقِ. Likewise, it's not permissible for you to sell this to the قُطَّعُ الطُّرُقِ, that is the highway robbers. So those who are attacking people on the way. So you know that this is what they are doing for a living. Then you don't sell things like this for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Assist one another upon good, taqwa and piety. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not assist one another on sin, wal-udwan, and transgression. So when you sell weapons to somebody who is going to cause fitna or be terrorizing people with it, then you are breaching evil. So when you sell things that could be used, that you know that the person that you have sold it to is going to use it to gamble and things like that, then you are abetting evil. So it is clear from the verse, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. So ordinarily it is permissible for you to sell eggs, to sell coconuts, to sell weapons. All these are permissible for you to sell in the Sharia. But they may be what? They may be haram for you to sell because of something that is attached. And that is what? That is the injustice that is attached to it, or because it is a qimar, or maybe because there is something of riba in it. Another example of this is وَنَهْيُهُ أَنْ تَلَقِّ الْجَلَبِ. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also forbade you meeting on the way the jalab, jalab that is merchandise. So the jalab, people of the Badu, those who are coming from the village, they are bringing commodities to the town to sell. They are bringing jalab, that is a merchandise. So you, the town dweller, now go and block them on the road to buy those items from them. Why? You want to buy them at a cheaper price, at cheaper prices, so that when you go to the market, you go to the town, you can sell it or sell them at higher prices. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't do that. Don't do that. So, and that's why he said what? La yabi habirun libadin. La yabi habirun libadin. A town dweller should not assist the villager in selling. That is, he should allow the villager that is coming with commodities to the town, let him go to the town and see the market and sell to people. So you should not go and buy from them on the way, and you should also not assist them in what? In selling. These are two things. You should not go and meet them on the road to buy. Let them go to the market and see the market, so what you can buy from them as others are buying. But for you to want to buy from them at a cheaper price, so that what? You can go to the market and sell at a higher price. With this, you have harmed a lot of people. You have blocked a lot of people from the blessings that would have come to them. So you block everything. You use your own personal interest to affect the interests of other people. Likewise, you have also affected the interests of the villager. The villager bringing the merchandise to the town. Because he may get to know later that he has sold those things for you at a lower price. So which may be something that he will not be comfortable with. It will be something that will not be comfortable with. So, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade this because it will be something that will be harmful to the villager bringing the commodity, because you're not allowing to see the market to sell at the price that really suits him. Then you have also affected the other sellers in the town because you do not allow them to meet the buyer so that they can also buy at cheaper price. So you buy on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha an talaqi ar-rukban. He forbade meeting the rukban, the villagers. So bringing the commodities to the town. Don't go and meet them to buy from them on the way. Yes, if you go to the village to buy, that's a different thing. This is permissible. You go out and meet them in your village to buy from them and bring to the town to sell. No harm. But the people are almost approaching the town. You go and meet them on the road. Okay, sell this thing to me. because you don't want them to take it to the town because you want to get more money. So this is what is zulmu. You are wronging the people. And one of the reasons why a transaction may be what prohibited is because of the zulmu that is involved in it. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it to the extent that what you should even not say to the villager that is bringing the item, let me assist you in selling. Don't tell him that let me assist you. No, let him sell. Let him meet the people and sell. Don't assist him in selling. So the sheikh says, وَنَحْيُهُ أَنْ تَلَقِّ الْجَلَبِ. Likewise, the forbiddance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that people should not go and meet the people coming with the jalab, with the merchandise. فَقَالَ لَا تَلَقَوْا الْجَلَبَ. Don't go and meet the merchandise, that is the commodity being brought. فَمَنْ تَلَقَى. Whoever meets the commodity being brought, فَاشْتَرَى مِنْهُ. He now buys from the commodity. فَإِذَا أَتَى سَيِّدُهُ السُّوقُ. If the owner of that commodity from which he has bought gets to the market, فَهُوَ بِالْخِيَارِ. He has the right, the choice, or the option to revoke the contract. If he sees, for instance, that he has been what? He has been cheated. You have bought lesser. Despite the fact that we say the basis is that when a transaction has been sealed, you've paid, everything is done. But because you have done what is called talaqqi al-jalab, you have done talaqqi al-jalab, so there is one khiyar that the Sharia gives the person, and that is what? That is the khiyar of what? Of tadlis or something like that. That is, you have lied to the person, khiyar al-gish. You have cheated the person. So there is what is called khiyar al-gish or khiyar al-tadlis. Tadlis is maybe, for instance, you have something that is not that good, or you don't know much about it, you start advertising it that maybe the person should buy is good. Is like what some of these people into this pyramid marketing are doing today. That they tell you that this commodity does so and so, just saying all that they are saying without them having used it. They cannot really establish that those things, those items contain those benefits. But they are saying it so that people can buy it. So this is what khiyar al-tadlis. So khiyar al-tadlis means that what? If the one who buys it from you does not find those features, those qualities that you have mentioned, in the Sharia he has the right to return it. And if you refuse to take it back from him, you have wronged the person. And you are half him, you are sinful. So what a commodity does not possess, don't try to what? Recommend and advertise the commodity that it has so and so. Maybe you yourself don't know, maybe it has or not, and you are saying it has. It can do so and so, it can do so and so. Have you really confirmed that it can do it? No. But this is what they've told you, that you should want you to what, to market it. So, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us. A lot of people who are into marketing, they fall into a lot of evil. They have done a lot of zulm to people. So the one who meets the villager bringing commodity and he decides to buy from the commodity, he doesn't want him to get to the market so that he will not know the market price, so he buys. So if he buys, the transaction owes. It owes. But this transaction can be revoked. Why? Because the Sharia has given the seller what is known as what? Khiyaru at-tadlis or khiyaru al-ghish. When you know that somebody has betrayed you in something that has in a transaction between you, both of you, then the Sharia has given you the right that what? You can revoke the contract. And if he refuses to do that, he is sinful. He's going to be accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for refusing to give you back your money and take the commodity. And if it's something that maybe you have used part of it, then you have to compensate for the one that you have used. So this is something that is important that you ought to know. Likewise, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." Whoever deceives us, whoever deceives us, tricks us, betrays us, falaysa minna, is not one of us. Meaning it's sinful. Meaning what? It's sinful. So it is wrong to do that. So we have mentioned something of zulm today and something of gambling or ghara, that these are some of the reasons why a transaction may be muharram, maybe what, maybe haram. This is one of the reasons. So not that the product itself is haram, but the method, the way the item is sold, or the way the transaction, the contract is sealed, maybe something that is haram. So that Allah forbid, maybe there is injustice in it that may lead to quarrel, rancor, and enmity amongst the people. Or maybe there's something of qimar, gambling, something of gharar. So this is also something that will lead to enmity. But it's specifically mentioned to be what? To be qimar. Because it's when you put money in a contest, or you put something there in a contest, you want to outdo the other, and if you win, you get something for that by taking maybe what the person has put down or something like that. So in context, we talk about qimar. But if it is not in context, it has to do with just ordinary sale, we talk about what is called what? Al-gharar. So that's why they will say ba'a gararan. He has sold gararan with serious risk. With serious risk. Wala'iba qimaran, and he has also played. He has played qimaran, that is gambling. So qimar is when it has to do with context. Why gharar may not have to do with context. It may not have to do with context, but there is serious risk in it. And that serious risk, it is certain that somebody is going to lose. But who is going to lose is what we don't know. So this is something that is what? That is haram. So inshallah, we stop here. We continue some other time. Now, you have this question. How can we ensure the condition of hand-to-hand when selling forex via the internet that is transferring currency, exchange using internet banking services? Now, the issue of hand-to-hand here, when we talk about the forex, foreign exchange, you want to exchange, take for instance, Naira with dollar, or dollar with euro or pound sterling. You are changing two different currencies. So the forex there is not the other forex, the popular forex. The forex is foreign exchange. You want to exchange one currency with another currency. So ordinarily, the traditional one that we know. So, but if we want to do this on the internet, how can we ascertain that hand to hand has been fulfilled? Now, hand to hand has been fulfilled according to majority of the scholars, particularly the Majamis Qiyya, if this has been debited or credited. If it has been debited or credited, that is, your account has been credited, his account has been debited. So this is said to be what? Hand to hand, according to a lot of the contemporary scholars, particularly in the Majami Fiqhiyya. Because once something is, your account is credited, it means what? Something has come into your account. And if your account has been debited, it means something has gone out of your account. So for you to take it back, this will take what? It will take something. So it's like you have given something to somebody cash. So something entering into another person's account is like something being collected by the person. So something, your account being debited, is like what? You handing over something to another person. So it's no more in your hand. And that's why they consider this to be what? To be end-to-end. So al-qabd, al-hukumi, that is the legal qabd, legal delivery, so to say, legal delivery. So not al-qabd al-haqiqi, that is really qabd. The real qabd is when you take it with your hand. But in this case now, it is legal al-qabd al-hukumi. So the legal delivery, so as happened. However, some scholars will not support this. They do not support this. Like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and some others, that it must be what? Something that will be end-to-end. Huh? So end-to-end, the mean here is that what that thing will enter into, that will be clear evidence that you have collected it and you can make use of it. As for those who say there is qabdu hukmi, the legal qabdu, they are of the opinion that you must not transact with that thing until you are able to collect it from the bank. Until you are able to make use of it. So if you are here to make use of it, yes, it has reflected in your account somehow, but you are yet to watch to be able to that is the person that is send it to is yet to be able to watch to make use of it. So they said he should not make use of it until he has really seen it in his account. So this they add as what as condition. So but if your account has been debited, for instance, so this is a sign that what there is that this is gone, according to a lot of scholars. But some scholars are of the opinion that no, it is not so until you're able to collect it from the bank. Huh? So if somebody credits your account now, so you should be able to withdraw it. If you are yet to withdraw it is not up to the level that you can withdraw it. If you want to withdraw it, then there is no company. So if you want to go by that, so it means it won't work. If it won't work, that is for those who are stipulating that you should be able to collect it, it won't work. Because there is no how somebody will transfer another person and instantly they will be able to withdraw it. So this yadam biyadim will not work there. And that's why some scholars are of the opinion that this does not work. But what most scholars are upon is that if this is reflected, something of qabdu, as output, however, the person should not do another transaction with that, except he is able to watch collecting from the bank. As for the forex that people do, this one is haram, and that some people they want to sell other currencies like naira, euro, pound sterling, but they themselves do not have up to the amount that they want to transact with. But there will be somebody, an intermediary, for instance, maybe a financial institution, that will say, okay, we are ready to loan you. So, but you have to start with an amount with us. So, but we are ready to loan you. So you can transact with the amount that we are loaning you. That amount being loaned to you, is it real? It's not real. It's not real. You are just being something that is what that is called be'udain bidain. You are only selling credit for credit, not that what the money really exists. So this is what is called short sale, is what is really happening there. So it is haram when you look at it from that angle. And this is what led towards the crashing of a lot of financial institutions in America, particularly in the year 2008. Because most of the things that they are doing are on short sale, so which really affected them seriously. Because those things are not really in existence. They are not really in existence. That's number one. Number two, there is an amount that you pay on a daily basis. As long as what you have money with the intermediary, maybe the financial institution, so you pay on a daily basis. If the transaction is still on, so you pay on a daily basis. So they are loaning you, and what they are also what collecting money for
that, despite the fact that, as we said, the loan, there is no real loan. It's just a dame. It's ordinary debt that does not exist. So they will collect money for that again. And there is a stipulation that you have to transact with them. You can transact with other people. That is, it must be through their platform. So the forex that people are engaged in these days, this is haram. It's haram. It's haram. One can do it. But if what is meant by forex is just to exchange ordinarily, so as we said, the condition mentioned earlier is fulfilled, then this is permissible. Wallahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك والسلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته